Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Yo, it is another edition of Phillies Today. I'm your host, James Seltzer. It is Friday, June the 15th, and sound the bells because the Philadelphia Phillies have won a series. They win their first series since May 21st through the 23rd when they beat the Braves at home as the Phillies, a 9-3 victory over the Colorado Rockies. The most runs the Phillies had scored in a game since May the 9th, the 11-run barrage against those San Francisco Giants in the sweep at home as the Phillies bats get it going yesterday. Vincent Velasquez has a no-hit bid. The bullpen does enough. It all worked out yesterday as the Phillies take the Colorado series 2-1, winning that rubber match yesterday. Just a big win for this team. We talked a lot about it heading into it, where this team has really struggled over the last close to a month of baseball, ever since that Toronto series at home, after that Braves series we just mentioned when they won 2 of 3 and they were peaking. They were 9 games over .500 and they were in first place alone. And then they lose the Toronto series. They lose 2 out of 4 in Los Angeles. They get swept by San Francisco in what will now be known as the Jake Arrieta Calls You Out series. And then they went to Chicago and not only lose 2 of 3, but lose one of them on the most painful loss of the season, the Jason Hayward home run in the bottom of the ninth, the Grand Slam home run. And then they come home and get their butts whooped by Milwaukee, 12 runs in back-to-back games to win that series 2-1. So this team desperately needed to win a series, and I know that it is seems a silly thing that I'm sure the team is not saying we have to take this series specifically, but this team needed that series, this fan base needed that series. And look, they're back to 4 games above .500, 35-31. As I've said time and time and time again, they just need to tread water in the month of June. If they can win this next series in Milwaukee, maybe steal one of the three after that, that's good enough. You know, they've got 6 games against the Nats in June. They've got 3 against the Yankees. And they've got this series against Milwaukee coming up over the weekend here. And then 3 against St. Louis. So they are, you know, they got 15 games left in the month. Win half of them. Win less than half. That's okay. Just tread water, stay above water. And then July and August, you can start to make a run. Is this team, look, the most bullish, positive thing you can take away from yesterday was not the fact that Vincent Velasquez went 6 2/3 innings of no-ball. We'll get to that. But it was the fact that the offense got going. The bats finally looked like a real offense yesterday. And having Rhys Hoskins back, Rhys homers in the first, 3 hits, 3 RBI for Rhys Hoskins. Odubel gets it going a little bit, a couple of hits and RBI. Nick Williams had a home run as well, a solo shot. He had 2 hits and 2 RBIs. Carlos Santana, a couple hits and RBI. Andrew Knapp had a really good game. It was huge for this offense, and we saw it that 2 of the 3 games this series, the Tuesday game, the 5-4 thriller that was way closer than it should have been, that game was a perfect example of this offense coming back after that Milwaukee series at home against Milwaukee and grinding and getting back to what they do after an off day, good at bats top to bottom. And yesterday we saw that in spades. Rhys Hoskins makes such a difference in this lineup. First and foremost, I think that, look, you never want anyone to get hurt. And I I'm not happy that Rhys missed any games. But I think as far as the timing for him to have gotten hurt and miss a couple weeks, I think it worked out well for him. He was clearly pressing before he got hurt. He was struggling immensely. And I think that time off gave him a chance to step back and watch himself, watch what he was doing and adjust. And I think that we're seeing it. He looks like the guy we saw at the beginning of the season. He's homered a couple times already since he's been back. He's swinging a hot bat. He is hitting the ball hard. That home run yesterday was a shot. It was out in a second. And then he had a double later in the game that was just also could have been a home run off the wall. Just a mammoth shot as well. As Hoskins looks back and his swing looks great. And the approach at the plate looks great. And I think he makes a massive difference because as we've talked about with him when he was out, first and foremost brings leadership to that lineup. We talked about it with the Odubel Herrera situation where he went over and apologized to Hoskins during the game. And Jim Salisbury put out the article about how Hoskins is already respected as a leader in this clubhouse. At his age, that is so impressive. But also that Hoskins is the one guy in this lineup other than Odubel Herrera. And Odubel also streaky as it gets. And right now, obviously, in the midst of a downturn. But Rhys Hoskins is the one guy in this lineup who has proven in the major leagues that he can be terrifying for pitchers. That he can hit 18 homers in 30 games or whatever that was. And Carlos Santana is certainly a really good hitter too. Cesar has had his moments. Nick Williams is swinging a good bat. We'll get to him in a sec. But Rhys Hoskins is the core piece of this lineup who can make the offense go when he's hot. And again, Odubel Herrera is huge as well. But getting Rhys Hoskins back changes the dynamics of the lineup. And I think it helps Odubel get his swing back, too. If you look at when Odubel was slumping the most, it was absolutely the time where Rhys was out for the most part. So, I look, and also with Odubel, it's about timing and getting that back. But, I'm just trying to say I think it's really good this team has Rhys back. And I think there's a chance that he can't alone change this offense. But just having him there will make a difference. And two out of three games with really good at-bats. Looking at the game yesterday, again, a 9-3 victory. A fun game. This team is fun when they hit, right? Well, they also got some pitching. Vincent Velasquez, again, takes a no-hitter into the seventh. Unfortunately, the first hit he gave up ended up being an RBI double. As he allowed a walk. And then Trevor Story laces one into left field. And the run is able to come around from first to score. And then after that, Tommy Hunter comes in, RBI single. It's 3-2 all of a sudden as the Phillies had gone up 3-0 on the Nick Williams homer, the Rhys Hoskins homer, and then Nick Williams double. And it's 3-2, and you're sitting there saying, oh my goodness, Vincent Velasquez just had a no-no attempt, pitched into the seventh inning with a no-hitter. It was brilliant. Gives up a run. Oh, no. And then it's going to all fall apart. You knew it with this bullpen. That's the way it's been feeling. Luckily, the offense isn't going to let that happen as they are just going to put their foot on Colorado's throat and step on it. As the next inning, base is loaded. A wild pitch allows a run to score 4-2. Then Rhys Hoskins, that monster double I mentioned before. And only one run scored here. J.P. Crawford somehow does not score from second base on that. Gotta kill my man J.P. here for a minute. I am sorry, but J.P., that was outrageous. That was outrageous. I could have scored from second base there. You could have scored from first base there if you were running right. First of all, there was no way that ball was getting caught. The question was, is it a home run or is it going off the wall? JP should have been halfway down the baseline. He should have scored easily. He obviously was not paying attention, not doing what he should have been doing. That was very frustrating. It ended up being a moot point as Odubel with a little bingle up the middle. Nice little drop shot right in front of the center fielder, which would score JP Crawford. Then a Santana RBI single makes it 7-2 after that. Hector Neris would come in and allow a home run to Ryan McMahon, 7-3. You're still feeling good, but no, not enough runs for this offense as aggressive base running leads to another in the eighth is Andrew Knapp. On second base, ground out to short as Kingery hits a grounder to short and shortstop looks Knapp back, throws the first at Kingery, and Knapp takes off for third, able to catch third base there. JP triples after that. And I think that nap run, that base running played a role in that, because they were playing JP Crawford shallower than they would have if there weren't the opportunity to have to throw a runner out at home. I am telling you, it was clear. And JP hits it over the center fielder's head. Ends up being a triple aggressive base running there by JP as well, though he almost slid over the bag a little much, but able to get in there. Then he would also come around to score on RBI single from Rees after that. 9-3. And how about this? Adam Morgan pitches a clean ninth inning. That's pretty exciting. Not something we've seen that often lately. But look, again, the bats got going. Rees, 3 hits, 3 RBI. Odubel, 2 hits, an RBI. Nick Williams, 2 hits, 2 RBI. Carlos Santana, 2 hits, an RBI. Andrew Knapp had 2 hits, played really well, had a good rapport with Vincent Velasquez out there. And again, shout out to Vinny. That was one of the better outings I've seen from him, and especially from Velasquez, to come off that just 10-run slop fest he put out there last time, to get his butt beat as bad as he did, to come back out in this next outing and throw a, you know, 6-plus of no-hit baseball and really grind and have some really nice swing and miss pitches. I was really impressed with Velasquez. I really was. And again, I mentioned this yesterday, but heading into that start, the 10-run barrage last time out, heading into that start, he had a 2.14 ERA with a 2.03 average against in his last 6 starts. 45 strikeouts in 32 innings. Look, he's never going to be a guy who's going to throw 8-9 innings a start, 7 innings even. You know, if you get 6-plus out of him, it's good. But when you look at Velasquez on a start-by-start basis, he has absolutely been better more often than not this year. And from their 4th starter and a guy who you didn't think you'd get anything from, it's an exciting thing to see. And I look, again, I still need to see it for a longer period of time, more consistency, all that type of stuff. But for right now, I don't see how you can't be bullish or at least more positive than you've been about Velasquez, as he has really shown some steps this year. And again, we've said it a lot, but shout out to Rick Granitz and the job he's done with this staff and a few of these guys and really developing them along. I mean, the Aaron Nola development, and which he was a part of last year as well, obviously, as the assistant coach. And then, obviously, Pivetta, who struggled his last few starts, but still has had more good outings than we even expected from him already this year. You know, he's had multiple 7 innings, 7-plus strikeout, no one or less walk outings. I think 4 of them this year. And then Velasquez, and then even what Eflin's doing. Really nice job from Kranitz and the pitching staff and the coaching staff in general, as this team sitting at 35-31 here, a team that won 66 baseball games last year and has battled a lot of adversity, from their head coach getting booed the first time he ever, their manager getting booed the first time he ever stepped on his home field. Guarantee that's never happened before. Some really tough losses. The Neris blowing the save in Washington against the Max Scherzer game sticks out to me. Obviously, this Jason Hayward bottom of the ninth grand slam sticks out to me. There have been some rough ones. And every single time, this team has bounced back and they've been resilient and they haven't had huge losing streaks. They find ways to stop it. Aaron Nola is a legit ace. Who saw that coming? A top 15 guy in baseball? What? What? So I think that, you know, a lot of credit goes to this staff. And again, I was just talking to my buddy John Marks about this, and it kind of, it something that I feel like we haven't mentioned nearly enough. We talk so much about Kapler, and people love to call out the mistakes, and apparently now love to rip him for being too positive and all that type of stuff, whatever. What we don't do enough is mention that he's a first-year manager. It feels like people have been ripping this guy for a decade now. He's 66 games into his managerial career at any level, much less the major league level. And people are just so ready to crucify him for every move. I think the fact that this team is 4 games above .500 with a novice manager who's learning on the fly, and again, someone who seems to learn. Let's take that into account. He seems to learn from mistakes and whatnot. I don't get it. I'm at the point where I don't get the Kapler hate anymore. I don't get it. I think he's done a really good job so far. When you look at how bad the offense has been, top to bottom. I've been really impressed with the guy and what he's done. And I think he's handled everything really well in the media. His public answers and responses, things have been good. And behind closed doors, it looks like this team's playing for him. It looks like they're buying into what he's doing, and he's got their back publicly, which I think they appreciate. So I think it's time to stop ripping Gabler and start to give him a little credit, but I'm sure that's not going to happen at least for a little while. So, all right, coming up next, we will continue to revel in the Phillies winning a series, but of course, a huge one coming up ahead this weekend as they will travel to Milwaukee. It's revenge time, boys and girls, as they will go and hope to get back at a Brewers team that came into Philadelphia and put up a 12 spot on back-to-back nights against this Phillies team. Hopefully the Phillies can go in and return the favor with a surging offense. 9 runs yesterday, the most since May 9th for this Phillies team. So over a month of baseball without scoring at least 9 runs in a game. So hopefully it will continue as Reese and the boys head out to Milwaukee. We'll get into all that and more coming up in just a minute. It's Phillies Today. It's James Seltzer. We're coming right back. We are back. It is Phillies Today, James Seltzer. As we look ahead to a weekend of baseball, the Milwaukee Brewers will host the Philadelphia Phillies. Jake Arrieta against Brent Sutter tonight. Zach Eflin against Junior Guerra tomorrow. And Aaron Nola against Chase Anderson on Sunday. But first, a quick mention, as we talked a lot about the win yesterday, the Phillies now 35-31 on the season. Big series win. And just mention the Gabe stuff, the positivity stuff. If you didn't get a chance, go back and listen to the show from yesterday. I played a cut of audio from Angelo Cataldi's show where Angelo had Gabe on, and he talked about the positivity and how it's a choice to be this way and to look for the positives in people and in players and to talk about the positives in players. And I thought it was really compelling. So if you have a chance, go back and check that out. And I didn't get a chance to really react to it too much yesterday in a shorter show, but I certainly think it's worth going back and listening to and just giving a shout out, because I think it's a really good mentality to have. And I think it's something that long term is going to pay dividends for Kapler from that perspective. We also yesterday got into the use of the bullpen, the old Sir Anthony of it all. If you want to listen to that, I'm a little tapped out on that argument. Again, personally, I feel like he should be used in the highest leverage situations. But to get less baseball-y about it, my biggest point is that the closer is used in the ninth inning when you're up 3 runs or less. Why save Sir Anthony for those situations if they're never going to arise? He's too valuable. You put him in whenever you need outs in a huge spot. Whenever it's a game where it's a close game and you really need outs because there are runners on base or whatever, that's when you use him. Because you don't know if that situation is going to come up again. You might never have as high a leverage situation again in the game. So all that interesting content, conversation, I should say, you can check that out. Also, quick shout out, as yesterday before the game, the honorary ceremony, they had a ceremony for Jim Thome. Shout out to Jim Thome, who was one of my favorite players growing up, both in Cleveland and here in Philadelphia. He was just one of those guys who had that prodigious power, light tower type power, and also just seemed like the best dude ever. I love that he wore the high socks, and he just seemed like he was having fun playing a sport, which is the mentality you hope to see from all players. And look, he wasn't here that long. I don't know how big an impact he had in terms of Phillies history, though he did hit a lot of home runs here. In 2.5 years, he hit over 100 home runs, which is absolutely insane. He was a monster the time he was here. And I think that was part of it. And then moving into Citizens Bank Park was part of it and all that, for why his legacy here is kind of carried on more than anyone who's anywhere for 2.5 years probably should, especially when it's a guy who has a real legacy in Cleveland where they've got a statue of him outside the building and all that stuff. So he's never been our guy, technically, but he's still kind of our guy, if you know what I'm saying. And I just shout out Jim Thome for being such a class act, for being such a fun player to watch with that power and that the high knee socks and just the way he played the game and the always with a smile So while I wasn't, I didn't know if the whole celebration and ceremony was warranted based on career achievements with the Phillies. I think it was certainly warranted based on what that guy meant to an organization for a short period of time, legitimizing it in a way was very cool. So shout out to Jim Thome on the return to Philadelphia. Speaking of returns, quick note, Megan Montemurro from The Athletic tweeted out a couple days ago some injury updates figured worth mentioning. Jared Eichhoff potentially throws a bullpen yesterday is what she said. So no update on how it went, but he will begin to progress with throwing if it does go well. Pat Neshek was expected to throw a pen yesterday as well and use all of his pitches, so he could be headed to Florida to throw some live BP soon. That would be great. And then Dylan Cousins to Florida as well. Neshek, I think the guy there who really can make the biggest difference for this team, theoretically, obviously, if he were to come back, as we've talked a lot about it. I just mentioned the whole Sir Anthony as a fireman type of guy instead of as a closer, where you put him in whenever you need outs, whether it be the fifth, the sixth, the seventh, the eighth, whatever. But I also, as I've said many times, am a staunch believer that you need a closer. You need a guy who wants the ball in the ninth inning, who's going to be able to handle the ball in the ninth inning, who has that kind of mentality. And the Phillies certainly don't have that guy right now. So, and look, I don't know if Pat Neshek is that guy. He has some saves in his career, but he's never really been a big-time closer. But he's a good pitcher. And when he's healthy, he gets outs. And it's a bullpen that needs guys that I feel like Gabe can count on in a big spot. You know, it's right now, who do you feel comfortable with coming into a big spot other than Sir Anthony? Nobody. That's the problem. And that's what's frustrating, because it did seem like this was a staff that had a bullpen that had the potential to really be special based on the talent in it. And yet none of the guys have really lived up to that talent in the moment, as there are guys with good numbers, but they haven't had that same sort of, you know, je ne sais quoi, or whatever you want to call it, of wanting the ball and taking advantage of the situations. And look, for the most part, the bullpen has been solid, but it's really been an issue as of late. As you know, Adubray Ramos has been solid. Luis Garcia has been solid when not in the ninth inning. Adam Morgan had been solid until recently, and then obviously the disaster in Chicago. So it's just Victor Arano was the best pitcher in the bullpen to start the season, and then now I don't even know what his role is. So I do think that there is a it's time for defined roles of some sort. I think guys need to know where they're pitching and know when they're going to be used. But I also think that Sir Anthony Dominguez should be a floater, as it were, and be able to be put in any spot that the most important outs of a game are needed. Obviously, if he's able to pitch and not needing a day of rest or whatever. But I just worry. Again, this is a rookie. This is a kid who's pitched 17 innings in the majors or 20 innings in the majors or whatever it is. So we just need to give it a chance and not kill the kid A, and also use him to his fullest potential. So, and look, again, hopefully maybe they can go out and get somebody at the trade deadline, Zach Britton, whoever you want to say, you know, said closer X, who is available for not that much. All right, looking ahead, huge series in Milwaukee this weekend as the Phillies look for revenge. They lose 2 out of 3 at home to the Brewers, winning the third game of the series, the Sunday game, 4-3. They're able to claw out a victory, but they get embarrassed in the first two games of the series, 12-4, then 12-3, 24-7 over the two games. This Phillies team hopefully heading to Milwaukee with a bit of chip on their shoulder, and especially the guy who's pitching tonight, Jake Arrieta against, sounds like a hockey player, Brett Sutter. Look, Arrieta called his teammates out. He stepped up and said, "We need to be better." And then Jake Arrieta went out and he didn't pitch much better. He grinded. He didn't have his best stuff. It happens. We need to see Arrieta come out and do something tonight. This is a big spot for this team. They just won their first series. They're playing the team with the best record in the National League, a team that just came off winning 2 of 3 to the Cubs. This is a big spot in Milwaukee. Jake Arrieta starting it off right. And then you got Nola going on Sunday against Chase Anderson, with Eflin, who's the winningest pitcher of the month for the Phils, in between, taking on Junior Guerra. The Phils have real matchup advantages here this weekend, and I think they have an opportunity to go in there and beat the Brewers 2 out of 3, and who knows, maybe they sweep. But just win the series, and look, even if they don't, they'll be okay, but I think they got a real shot here, some good pitching advantages. Hopefully they can capitalize. Either way, we'll be back to talk about it all on Phillies Today on Monday. Enjoy the weekend, everyone. Until then, we have you covered. Everything over the weekend, the Brewers series, everything going down, we've got you covered all weekend long right here on the Phillies 24/7 Network.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.